of our things on Sunday morning end up talking about church and state and the issue of church and state and the church and state's relationship. And as you know, and we've talked about this, that you know, the roots of the problem with the church and state, or the lack of separation of church and state, really has its roots back to what Isaiah talks about in Isaiah 14, Satan and the kings of this world trying to be like the Most High, rising above the heights of the clouds. And you know, Bible clearly puts divisions, and these are sometimes subtle, but God talks about in Leviticus about that it was forbidden that a Levite would be a king, and it was forbidden until Christ that anyone from the tribe of Judah be a priest, and God had a clear separation there. But the I want to talk about something that happened in England and then draw a modern day or today's conclusion. But in 1661, and we talk about England a lot because our nation was founded primarily by Englishmen, and our laws and English laws are very similar. But in 1661, the Anglican Church dominated Parliament. They had won a big election, and many of the members of Parliament were Anglican pastors, actually. And they had passed some laws to approve a revision to the Anglican Common Book of Prayer, Book of Common Prayer. The Book of Common Prayer is really the beliefs of the Anglican Church, the Church of England. And so they had made a revision in that, and the Act of Uniformity soon followed, and it was given the King's stamp on May 19, 1662, requiring that all ministers should have received Episcopal ordination, and that no matter what the situation, each minister must, upon some Lord's Day before the Feast of St. Bartholomew, which is August 24th, each minister must assert his, and I quote here, unfeigned assent and consent to all and everything contained and prescribed by the Book of Common Prayer. Now, what happened was that immediately 700 pastors were thrown out of the Anglican ministry. They had to give up their living because they would not sign off on the Anglican Book of Prayer. They would not say they agreed with everything that was in the Book of Common Prayer. And later, almost 1,000 more were also thrown out of the church, pastors thrown out of the church. And the Baptists in England had rejected this whole concept of an established church. There was a lot going on here that everybody had to pay for the pastors of these Anglican churches. That's how they were paid. It was a tax for the pastors. And the Baptists, of course, chafed against that and rejected that idea. Many of them went to prison. We've heard those stories. We talked about that. Many of the rejected pastors that were thrown out of the Anglican Church became Baptist ministers because many of them were, one of the reasons they were thrown out, one of the reasons they wouldn't sign off or give public assent to the Book of Common Prayer was that they had given judgment in their sermons against infant baptism, and they were then thrown out of the church because of that. The indirect consequence was considerable for Baptists. First, and maybe foremost, all these 1,700 pastors and their followers and their churches really meant that dissenters as a whole, as a body, and I'm talking about dissenters, that would be there were Quakers and Baptists among it, most of them dissenting from the Catholic from the Anglican Church, they were more likely to survive now than if it had just been a small groups of people. So this added numbers to the dissenters by quite a bit. And then many of these pastors, as I said, became Baptist ministers, and these churches became Baptist churches during this time of persecution. And the Act of Uniformity emphasized that the government would have one church with no alternative forms of worship, even if they were self-supporting and received no financial help from the government. Many Baptists were arrested during this time. Again, horrible persecution, as we've talked about in past lessons. But it's really amazing that some of the congregations even survived this persecution. Now, I just want to say that, you know, we talk about this, and this was an important date in English history for Baptists. And it just so happened that it came on May 19th, because of something that happened this week. And we're not trying to make this a current event thing, but I want to draw a conclusion. As you might know, our religious liberty did not come overnight. You know, this happened in 1662, and you know, our nation has been formed for a little over 200 years. But this religious liberty that we enjoy came through centuries of struggle and suffering, great persecution. And I say that to say that we're in grave danger as our religious liberty is now being taken away slowly from us. For the first time in 200 years, the government of the United States is actively going after one specific religion. And I bring this up, it's one specific religion and its teachings. Right now, I bring this up to draw a point here. The Obama administration is going after the Catholic Church full force. If you remember about a year ago, the Affordable Care Act, which is Obamacare, that is law now, directly forces the Catholic organizations to go against their teachings on contraception and abortion. And then last week it was revealed, and many of you have probably followed this, that the IRS has specifically targeted conservative groups and several Catholic groups and several other Christian groups, actually demanding from two groups that they reveal the contents of their members' prayers in prayer meeting. And I don't know if you've been following this or not, but the IRS is gathering information on groups like us. Now, the reason I say that this is important for us, because I think the great danger for us is that we are not Catholic, but we many times forget that when the state moves against one religion, it moves against us. And we have to be very careful, because we don't want to think for one minute that Baptists won't be next. And you remember that there's that pastor in Germany right before World War II, and he wrote after World War II, he wrote that famous, it was a poem, but he wrote that idea that when the state first came out, they came after the socialists first, but I didn't care because I wasn't a socialist. And then they came after the communists, but I didn't care because I wasn't a communist. And then they came after the Jews, but I didn't care because I wasn't a Jew. And we know what happened in World War II and in Germany. But we have to be careful that we don't think this won't happen to Baptists. And I believe that we must cherish our religious liberty and pray for our leaders. This was paid for by centuries, again, of persecution. And we must be prepared to stand against all this legislation that is coming down. We have just seen the beginning of this. And I fear for our country. There are good men standing, even this week. Congress has suddenly awakened to this abuse. And there's hearings this week. But we need to pray for these meetings that are going on in Washington right now and the danger of losing our religious freedom. All right, ushers, if you'll come, we'll take our offering.